Tonight we're going to be looking at James chapter 2, James chapter 1, and we're going to go back to verse number 22. James says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Now we may say we are Christians, but the real test is, do we live what we profess? Are we just saying and not doing? But then he goes on and say, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." Now, but also in verse 24 he says, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man that he was." Listen, unless a professing Christian act promptly after they hear the word, they will forget the changes and improvements that their reflection showed them that they need to make. Old desires to sin should be gone, because we are not the image we were before we became Christians. Once we become Christians, he said, "All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So what manner of man, a woman, are you? Are you Christ-like or are you worldly? And so as we look tonight as James chapter 1 and verse 25, notice what he says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Here begins the application of the illustration of the man who looks but forgets his reflection in the mirror that's set out in verse 23 and 24. It is presented as a contrast, as evidence by the word "but." Notice, "but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty." We are to look in the perfect law. When you look at the word look into, it spoke of penetrating, examination, so that a person would even bend over to get a better look. And so what we need to do is penetrate, examine the perfect law. When you look at the perfect law in both the Old Testament and New Testament, God revealed sufficient and comprehensive word is called law. Look at Psalms 19 and verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony is sure, making wise the simple." And so he says, you look into the perfect law of liberty. Liberty is genuine freedom from sin. As the Holy Spirit applies the principles of Scripture to believers' heart, they are freed from sins, bondage, and enabled to obey God. John chapter 8, verse 34-36. It is a law of liberty because it frees from the principles of sin and death. Romans chapter 8, verse 2-4. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 13. But James also describes it as the royal law in chapter 2 and verse number 8. For it is the law of Christ. Galatians 6 and verse 2. But Jesus says that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14 and verse 15. You will obey the perfect law of liberty. And so when you look a little further, he says again, he says in verse number 25, let's look at it again. He said, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. But then notice what he says, and continueth. The key word is continueth. He not only professes Christianity, but walks in continuously in the salvation he has received. No one has to ask him if he is a Christian. His way of life shows the world that he is a Christian. So notice these steps. He looks into it and is impressed by it, and he obeys it. And notice what the text says. When you look into it, when you are impressed by it, when you obey it, notice what he says. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. So when we go a little further, before we look at verse 26 and 27, you have to go back and understand verse 22 and 20 through 25. What James has done in verse 22 through 25 is that James has rebuked mere listening by the hearers who does not do. In verse 26 and 27, he rebukes mere doing by the doer who leaves his inner life unchanged. In other words, he looks into the mirror. He sees what needs to be changed, but he does not change it. And so James here, he offers not a formal definition, but three key aspects of pure religion. That is controlled speech. In other words, bridle your tongue, unselfish service, and separation from the world. So notice what he says in verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Now notice, James has just explained that real religion is not shown by hearing the word, but by doing it. When you look at this word religious here, it in this context, James uses it of someone who is religious, but is not really right with God. And this evident because he does not bridle his tongue. So when you look at the word bridle, it means control, or as another translation renders it, keep a tight rein. Purity of heart is often revealed by controlled and proper speech. So one way to do God's word is to bridle the tongue. But notice what he says. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceive it his own heart. This is speaking of someone who is a Christian in form only. The world may even look on him and think of him as a Christian, but his heart is not right with God. We have discussed before that the words that come out of the mouth, spoken by the tongue, are what we are inside. Our heart, out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew 12 and verse 34. You cannot curse and bless with the same tongue. James says that in James chapter 3 and verse 10. So evil words come from an evil heart. And the heart of man reveals what relationship he has with God. Religion is something we do systematically. And so as a result of this, as a result of this man who seemed to be religious, who bridled not his own tongue, but deceived his own heart, notice what James said. This man's religion is in vain. It is useless. You walk with God. It's useless if it's not translated into the way you live and the way you treat others. But then in verse 27, James says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. What James does here is that James picks two adjectives to define the most spotless kind of religious faith, that which is measured by compassionate love, John 13 and verse 35. The two words that he picked is pure and undefiled. Pure denotes that which is clean. Undefiled, that which is without contamination. So combining pure hearts and pure outward lives. So he says pure religion and undefiled, notice, before God and the Father. Literally before him who is our God and Father, is this in agreement with. This genuine religion has two elements. Number one, kind and loving deeds, exemplified especially in helping the helpless. Notice what he says, to visit. That means to see, to inspect, with the view of assisting in all manner of relief when we are capable of giving to others. To visit what? Notice what he says. To visit the fatherless and widows. They are particularly mentioned because they are generally most apt to be neglected or oppressed. When we understand all who are proper objectives of love, all who are in affliction, those who usually unable to reciprocate in any way, caring for them clearly demonstrates true sacrificial Christian love. And when we can comfort and sustain them, we ought to do that, because that is what it's all about, doing good for those who are in need. It is translated into positive actions of reaching out to help those in need. And that is what it is to be doers of the word. But then the second element is living pure, unstained by sins prevalent in this sinful world. So notice what he said, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Why? Because the world is out to spot and blemish the soul. John comprises all that is in the world, which we are not to love, under three heads: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So you and I need to keep ourselves stayed upon good things. And if you are stayed upon good things, if your mind is upon good things, then you will not have time to get involved with the bad. When you do for those who cannot help themselves, you are doing it unto God. So he said, keep yourself unspotted from the world. The world is describing the evil world system. So next week, Lord's willing, we're going to be looking at James chapter 2. And as you begin to look at the first 13 verses, what you're going to find is James begins this passage on partiality with an exhortation in verse 1. Then a brief illustration he's going to give in verse 2 through verse 4. But then most of this discussion is an argument against partiality in verse 5 through 13. And what you're going to find is we're going to see three things. First of all, partiality shows inconsistency in one's conduct. Secondly, we'll see partiality is more than an error in judgment. It is an act of sin. But then thirdly, we're going to see that James argues that partiality provokes God's judgment. So we're looking forward, Lord's willing, to begin James chapter 2. Again, we want to thank you for listening on tonight.